Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here.
I'm Hallie LaBonte, and this is Mega the Podcast, where we are giving our mega church a tiny family feel by introducing you to members of our church staff and community. Oh, what a true treat and a treasure. Thanks for joining us today, my friends. Well, just like Ephesians says, we are all God's workmanship. My co-host is a special chiseled work of God. Please welcome Gray Haas, everybody.
Hey, Hallie, how are you doing? So great to see you.
I'm too blessed to be stressed, my brother.
Did Dave mention what I did in Climax this weekend?
Yes, he did.
Well, we had, for those who don't know about it, what I like to call the Climax covers. And what Climax covers is once or twice a year, I will find a sermon of another minister and I will cover that sermon.
That's cool.
And I'll try to do it exactly like they do. I'll dress like them. I'll learn the sermon word for word. Basically, I like to approach it like, hey, you know, we cover songs all the time. Why don't we cover sermons more?
That's true.
So what I did is I found this really cool sermon from Mosaic, which is an awesome church. You know, they've got campuses all over the place, California, Mexico. I think they've even got one in Canada, unfortunately. And what they are led by is a guy named Erwin McManus. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, he is so cool.
He is awesome, Hallie. He's just so positive. He's so on fire for the Lord. And so I covered one of his sermons, and it was all about how if we try to run away from God, really, we're running to God.
Oh, cool.
And so I learned it word for word, just like it was a song. And I dressed exactly like him. And it was hard, Hallie, because he was wearing these jeans that had a drawstring that was about 4 feet long. I've never seen jeans like them.
Jeans with a drawstring.
Jeans with a drawstring. And so I basically had to pay someone to custom make these jeans.
Okay.
And I looked exactly like him, Hallie.
That's so
a lot of my
cool.
kids were pretty confused because they don't know who he is. But I had to tell them who he was. Hallie, I started in on this sermon, and at some point, as I was kind of doing the act out of when you run away from God, you're really running to God, one of the drawstrings got caught on my rig of all the pedals that I use for my various different bass and 12-string guitar solos, and I started dragging my whole rig with me, and oh my gosh, Hallie, they were laughing, and I was laughing because I was going, hey, seems like God's actually trying to drag me back here, and I kind of fell off the sermon.
Oh no.
But the drawstrings look cool, and the kids really, really got into it. And I just think that's a great thing to remember, Hallie, is if you try to run away from God, you're really running to God, and even if your drawstrings get caught in a pedal board.
That is so cool. We should send a video of you doing Erwin McManus' sermon to Erwin McManus so he can see how it lives on.
Hallie, I beat you to it. I actually did send it to him right after it happened, and I got a pretty strange letter, not back from him, but they were basically like, you can't put that online, and...
Well, you let them know that imitation is the highest form of flattery, my friend.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? I think Erwin McManus, I mean, he sounds like he's in Braveheart or something. I just think that's such a cool name.
Yeah, he seems really manly, doesn't he?
He is. Oh, he's got this cool beard. He's a great guy.
That's
anyway, how was your week, Hallie?
Well, as you know, Gray, I've embarked on my own project. I've decided I'm going to call it It's a God Thing, where I am researching how the power of prayer is proven through the statistics of cancer being healed, surgeries going well, boys coming back from war, kidnapped kids being returned. You know, from prayer.
Oh, that's right. I remember last week you were talking about this for Day.
That's right. And so I discovered something this week while I was doing my research, and I thought, you know what? I want to put this on the pod so our listeners can pray. I discovered that much of the developed world is losing its religion. Did you know this?
Yeah.
It's declining. And it's just truly alarming. According to the United Nations Human Development Report, I have it printed here. Let me read it. According to the United Nations Human Development Report, these are the countries to put on your prayer list. You, Gray, and all our listeners, here they are, put them on your prayer list. Norway, Iceland, Australia, Canada, Sweden, Switzerland, Belgium, and the United Kingdom. They are among the least religious societies on earth.
Ugh.
And this says, wait, what does it say? It says they are also the healthiest. They have the longest life expectancy, highest adult literacy, highest per capita income, best educational attainment, gender equality, lowest homicide rates, and lowest infant mortality. Huh. That's weird. Well, I'll put that in my It's a God Thing folder. And you know what? We're just going to keep praying for them. We're going to pray about it. Because you know what? Prayer changes things because the Bible says so. Here we go.
You know what, Hallie? Well, first I would say if it's a UN report, maybe find a different report. Because who wants to listen to a bunch of countries that think they can boss us around?
Same.
And as I was going to say about Australia, I mean, you know, it's basically completely on fire right now. So maybe God is trying to tell him something.
Hey, here's some good news for you, Twin Hillers.
Mega is doing our very first live show in Denver.
Yeah! Monday, February 24th at 8 p.m. at the Voodoo Comedy Theater.
Tickets are on sale right now, so head over to voodoocomedy.com and get yours.
And if you don't live in Denver, please tell your friends who do live in Denver that you should come see this show because it's going to be so good.
Tell it on the mountain, y'all.
So I found out we have 5 different listeners flying in for this show.
That is setting the bar really high.
So we better be good.
Denver, February 24th. VoodooComedy.com. Be there.
Well, just like the book of Jeremiah promises us that God has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, we have a guest plan for you today who will prosper you and he will never harm us, not with any chemical sprays, not with anything. He's here to prosper us. Please welcome Mark Cragnar.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mark. So nice to see you. And you're completely decked out with a backpack with a, what do you got on?
You look like a Ghostbuster.
That's right.
Well, you got to come prepared. When you're out here in the field, you never know when you're going to come across something that's going to need eradicating.
Well, what exactly are you talking about, Mark? Because right now, I bet a few people are wondering, hey, is he security? What does this guy do?
I know, because you're here every day of the week that I'm here. I don't think people always see you on the weekends when everybody's here for services, but you're always here. You're always in that Carhartt onesie. Uh-huh. With that strap on your back.
That's right. Tell, well, and I take a lot of pride in, you know, technically you shouldn't see me.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you don't see me, I'm doing my job.
That's
well.
That's right.
I'm in charge of all the pest control over the entire campus.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And you are a one-man band in that regard, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. And believe me, it's a lot of work. I'm in charge of taking care of anything that trespasses on the property here, from insects, yeah. Rodents, yeah. Squirrels, deer, a mm-hmm. Handful of birds if they land.
Yeah.
Then technically they're in my territory.
So. Yeah. Really? So you're really going after all forms of life if it's not a human?
Well, to be quite honest, there have been some times that a couple of humans have tried to trespass, and far be it for me to exclude them from my special treatment, this backpack here and all the accoutrement that comes along with it.
Right. It does have a handgun on the side, I noticed.
Well, it's a pellet gun, but okay. I keep trying to speak with the proper powers that be in order to maybe get an actual handgun one day, which would be
ooh,
nice.
That'd be cool.
Well, you know, because some of the deer, the buck, the naked mole rats, the star-nosed moles, falcons, anything with talons, there have been a couple of reptiles, and the gun would come in handy.
Yeah, that's true. And I feel like right now a lot of them vermin are coming out because they're so hungry because it's the middle of winter.
Mm.
And so they're looking for food. They're coming up here trying to eat our tulip bulbs or something. I don't know.
Well, and it is. It's, you know, the gardeners, the people who take care of the land here, they do such a marvelous job. It is basically a salad bar.
That's right.
For a majority of the people. You know, if you're a marmot.
Yeah,
right. Or a skink or a ferret, you know, and you see this, you see some of this, you see those geraniums. Some of those are up to my kneecaps.
Whoa.
And those are big. And if I was some kind of a weasel, I'd, you know, I can't blame them.
Yeah.
But I never actually harm them.
Uh-huh.
I teach them a lesson.
Yeah.
You know, so they know. But for the most part, it's a catch and release plan. For the most part,
yeah.
I had a few incidents.
And I was wondering too, is that a ferret pelt? That is that what you would call that around your belt?
It is. It's a ferret pelt. Actually, the tail end here is a raccoon tail because I couldn't complete the whole circle.
Oh.
Technically, I can slide tools inside of this. I tapered it.
Cool.
It's got a tapered end, so I can put anything that has any tool with a taper.
Right.
You know, like a Phillips screwdriver. A flathead screwdriver.
And right now you've got a Slim Jim in it.
And a Slim Jim, yeah, because sometimes I can transport food. I don't particularly, I'm vegan.
Oh, really?
But I do, the Slim Jims, they will attract. I can kind of create a trail.
Now, I don't want to get too personal, but you said you were vegan,
mm-hmm.
and why is that?
Well, the truth is that as a man, of belief, the temptation was too grand.
Really?
Yeah. So often, oftentimes I would find myself with like a squirrel or something in my hand, and my brain would just go to, not unlike, I don't know if you're familiar with those old Looney Tunes cartoons where like Daffy Duck or Bugs Bunny would envision something when they were hungry.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I would do the same thing. I would be holding like a skink or a ferret or a weasel or a raccoon or a naked mole rat. And I would envision them as like, never actually as a carcass of any form, but I would actually envision them two or three steps down the line of the processing, like as a package of pre-made Frankfurters or a can of tuna.
That sounds good.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, good for you. That takes a lot of discipline.
It does. Sure. It does.
And you know what? My grandfather, who was from Kentucky, told me that, no lie, he used to always go out with some kind of gun into the woods by his house, and he would shoot squirrels and his whole family would eat them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're good eating. If you know where to get the meat and how to separate the meat from the bone, you know, often if you soak a squirrel for 2 or 3 days in a salt water, predominantly salt, basically it's almost like you just put the squirrel on a pile of salt and then like drop 2 or 3 drops of water on top of it. And the flesh will literally fall right off those bones.
That's amazing.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was wondering if you were doing it for health reasons, because my husband, Lance Labonte, he's been paleo for several years now. Pretty much all he eats is meat, and then he follows that up with a side of meat. And his doctor just recently told him that he's going to have a heart attack.
Oh, well, yeah, for sure. If all you're eating is meat.
Yeah.
I would imagine that. And to be quite honest, I feel like sometimes I'm on the other side of that spectrum, where all I've had is arugula for like 2 or 3 weeks. And I think, oh, man. If I don't get something of substance, you know, I might perish.
Right.
What do you put on arugula and stuff like that to make it taste good?
I make an arugula sandwich with other sprigs of arugula. So the basic protein in the middle is arugula, and the bread is both arugula. And then sometimes I put a little arugula on it.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just to break outside the box.
But you still call it a sandwich.
It is. You know, it just depends on what angle you look at it.
And if you're holding it between two, you know, if you got your thumb on the bottom and your fingers on the top, that's a sandwich, right?
Yeah, exactly. There have been a couple of times that I've gone to eat that sandwich and realized as I was bringing it to my mouth that I was holding it sideways.
Now, what was it about vermin and pests specifically that first interested you to get into this line of work?
Well, I had a really interesting upbringing.
Oh, really?
I came from the southwestern corner of Ohio.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not too far, actually, from here in Indianapolis.
Cool.
And I actually wanted to get as far away as possible from any kind of navigable waterway, which is why Indianapolis is such a good place to be.
Oh, yeah.
But my father, when I was a child in southwestern Ohio, was lured away by a small group of feral gerbils.
Really?
And into the woods. And we're not sure if he communed with them or if he lived with them or if he was consumed by them. But I don't want to say I have a vengeful pact. I think this is my peaceful way of trying to find a neutral ground with to deal with some of my frustration with losing my father.
And is that what he told you? He had to go live with the gerbils.
Well, it was not unlike that moment where I was, it was late at night. I heard some noises. It wasn't until later that I realized that my father had put like a corrugated metal ramp from his bedroom window out to the backyard, and that I heard 1,000 different gerbil feet hitting a corrugated metal, which is not unlike a rainstorm.
Yeah.
And it woke me up, and I looked out to see him going, and he was deliberately kind of like waving and saying, you'll figure out what this means, as he walked kind of into the forest.
Was he saying it in that spooky voice?
He was, and it was slow. And then I didn't realize until, because I was kind of waking up while it was happening, because I was like, is this a dream? You'll figure this out. It haunts me.
And did your mom have the same vision for that story?
She had she claimed that he, she had a much different version. To be honest, hers was a lot more, she claimed that he just ran off. And that's ludicrous. That's a ludicrous surprise. He was she's wrong. If you don't have a certain understanding of the greater scheme of life,
yeah,
then this type of thing probably seems outside, otherworldly, eerie. Yeah.
Right.
But and I don't think she ever had the ability to grasp it.
Yeah.
But the truth is often right there. It's what you see. It's what you think you're seeing. And if you tell the story to yourself enough, you'll believe it.
But these rodents, I think they can be, you know, you've heard of like rat kings and stuff. They can become kind of these big mutant. I mean, he could have been killed by, my kids were watching Joker the other day and I came and I said, this looks pretty dark. This doesn't seem right. Oh, and they said, no, no, Mom, it's a comic book thing. It's good. And I said, okay. And so I let them watch it. I didn't know what they were doing. And then one of my kids couldn't sleep, terrified of a rat king, kept saying, these rodents can eat you. And they saw it in the movie. So it happens.
There was a guy who lived in the apartment building with me when I first moved to Indianapolis, who I'm fairly certain was just a series of rodents kind of standing on top of each other in a bunch of thrift store clothing.
I think sometimes it's so nice to have a good story that you can really attach some meaning to rather than maybe a less interesting story that just doesn't really give you what you need.
Well, you know, I oftentimes spend the night here on the campus.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've, in order to get closer to the rodents, I have my own series of burrows, not unlike in warrens, you know, not unlike a rabbit warren. Oh. Multiple rooms that basically kind of tunnels and all over the entire campus.
Yeah.
And I spend a lot of time alone. And oftentimes in those moments of reflection, I'll end up having conversations with myself where the stories that I tell myself end up being the reality I choose to live.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, we have such a huge food court here. I just can't even imagine trying to keep the rodents out of there. And I have to really commend you because it always looks sparkling clean. I've never seen a single anything.
Peppermint oil.
Really?
Yes, peppermint oil. I sprinkle it judiciously.
Wow. I thought that was just a Christmas thing because I've been smelling it.
Oh, no, no, no. Most rodents will repel at peppermint oil. It's their sense of smell is so much greater than ours. A lot of people don't know that a ferret can smell itself from around the world.
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah, it will recognize its own scent ahead of itself being carried by the wind across multiple oceans. So it will actually think it's being attacked, not fully aware that it's itself that it's smelling.
So you're alone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing a job that maybe a lot of people wouldn't like. Where does God come into your life when it comes to your guidance, your inspiration?
Well, you know, initially he really did. He guided me towards this path, towards Indianapolis, and certainly to the world of pest control. In the last year or two, I wish that he would guide my hand a little bit more. I am feeling a little bit rudderless, so to speak.
Have you turned to God in prayer?
I do. I do. On a nightly basis, I'll go to my prayer burrow. And in that corner, when I'm down there, it's got an interesting draft, like a pole, where I can kind of like feel the elements around me. And on nights when the moon is full, I can kind of like reach out to him mentally, but never out loud or verbally. And so the hope is that, you know, he'll kind of internally come back to me and guide me the way that he did when I initially came here.
Yeah. Well, Mark, if I may encourage you, if I may give you a little word basket of encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
I one time was in the green room behind the auditorium here and years ago saw a Time magazine, I think it was Time, about Mother Teresa having a crisis of faith. And I read the whole article. I couldn't even imagine such a thing. She was such a devoted, beautiful, wonderful, selfless, giving person. And I always thought she was such a devoted Christian. And evidently, Mother Stinkin' Teresa had a crisis of faith. I couldn't believe it. I read the whole article and then I threw it away so that nobody else would know.
No,
you know?
Of course, yeah.
But it just came to mind when you were saying you're having a little bit of a crisis of faith, you know, that happens to the best of us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the truth is that I actually want to have moments like this because I truly believe that you can't appreciate moments of true joy unless you have moments of true sadness.
Isn't that right?
So to have a true connection to God, I think at times you have to be angry with Him.
You know, or take that?
Yeah. Oh, I think so. You know, and I the truth is that I'm always doing His work. Every time I trap an animal that's hungry, and give it a good talking to, and you know, shake the cage, you know, roll it down a hill.
Oh, you put them in cages?
Well, and to catch, it's catch and release. So
oh, I see.
The catch part requires a cage. It's not. I can't always do it with my hand.
You know, I'm seeing a really interesting theme here, Mark, which is your father was carried away by rodents. Mm-hmm. You were drawn to rodents. Mm-hmm. Now you carry rodents away and you get angry at your father God when he doesn't come to you in prayer.
Wow. I really, I hadn't thought of it that way. And, that's really enlightening. Thank you.
Well, you know, I've been in ministry for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times when you listen to people's stories, if you just repeat some of the words back to them that they've said, you find themes that they didn't even know were there. And sometimes you didn't even know were there. Because actually when I started saying that, I wasn't quite sure where I was going with it, but I can tell it really affected
that's,
you.
You know, that's another, I feel that way most of the time.
Do you want to eat that Slim Jim? I can tell you sort of...
I should have taken this backpack off earlier. It's heavy. It's filled with... I have a full medieval mace in here.
Really?
Wow.
And it's just... You never know. One time an armadillo. One time. And I wasn't prepared. And that armadillo bit to the fibula.
Oh.
All the way down to the bone. And I stood there. And if I had had this mace, it's the one time I would have really, I would have killed an armadillo.
Wow.
An armadillo in Indiana.
Unexpected. I agree. You never know, though. Kids and the way they release things. Like I said, so many hamsters right now. Unprecedented. Adorable.
Right. Yeah. Well, animals will come from other places. Asian carp and all of these kind of, what's it called when it's an infestation of something that's not supposed to be there? These invasive species. Now, I wanted to ask you, what's more insidious in terms of pests? Would it be the 6- and 8-legged variety, or would it be more like the 4-legged variety? Is it more the creatures with fur, or is it more the insects?
Well, it always comes down to quantity, right? And I think the truth of the matter is that you can fit more ants in a box than you can fit, say, badger, right? You can fit one badger. And one doesn't make an infestation. 2,000 ants, that's an infestation.
Yeah.
Same amount of space. But that's what my job is to prevent, hypothetically, the infestation of 2,000 plus badger in a box.
Yeah. Right, 2,000 badgers would be a lot of badgers.
Oh, and they're feisty.
Yeah.
And... I think the infestation is literally comes down to how many creatures there are in what size space.
Now, I'm just wondering, is there a creature here on the campus that you would welcome? Or are we basically a no creature policy here on campus?
Well, I do have a soft spot for hummingbirds.
Okay, ooh, great.
And like I said, they have to land to be considered vermin in my book. So clearly here in the Midwest, we get a lot of what is considered to be Eastern songbirds. You'll get cardinals.
Right.
You'll get a jay. You'll get a phoebe. But hummingbirds, for the most part, first off, incredibly rare in this part of the country.
Yeah.
If they're here, it's probably because they got carried on the wind.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Most of the time they're out of control. And, they're being blown, usually horizontally. But when I see them, I think, oh, even if you landed, and sometimes I try and entice them to do so, I probably wouldn't hurt them.
So anything else that lands, it's a zero tolerance policy.
Zero tolerance. Zero.
Okay.
You don't belong here.
Well, our church has a standard of excellence, doesn't it? We got to impress people. They're coming here to be impressed at Twin Hills. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see your father again?
I have seen what I believe to be my father several times. I was bringing a pork loin out from Ellie Kincaid and Sons, and I'd parked my car out back. This is pre-vegan days. And in the foliage behind the butcher shop, again, just ever so briefly, you don't know, have you figured it out? And then he disappeared.
Did he just talk like that, or was he trying to do a voice?
He usually talked slower.
Okay.
This was, that is him in a state of urgency. When he would say prayer before our meals, it was excruciatingly part of the divisiveness between my mother and my father was that by the time he finished prayer at a meal, the meal was usually cold and flat and lifeless. And my mother would encourage him to pick up the pace and the feuding and the cold food.
How many siblings did you have?
I was an only child.
Are you scared of silverfish? I feel like everybody in the world is scared of a silverfish. All those legs.
I don't have a problem with
really?
Them. Really? They don't, clearly I'm going to help. I'm going to put that silverfish mm-hmm. carefully into a test tube,
yeah.
shake the test tube, give him a sperm talking to, and then I'm going to release that silverfish. But they don't skeeve me out. I have an aversion to young deer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anything spotted like that.
Oh, that's why you were losing your mind with the ladybugs last fall, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. And there were so many of them. That's a good example mm-hmm. of an infestation.
Mm-hmm. That was something else.
And they're aware of it.
So everything that you capture, are you taking them just beyond the border of the campus and then you're releasing them? Or are some of them, you're taking their life?
Oh, no. With the exception of the armadillo, who I would have,
okay.
but I didn't, even then. And I take them just outside the gate, And to be quite honest, there have been multiple times where they've immediately returned to the property.
Oh.
And in some cases, I think that is, then shame on me.
So, yeah, it really seems like, you're using peppermint oil, you just catch and release them. It seems like it would be sort of a frustration that you work so hard, but then it seems like they're just coming sort of right back in after you catch them.
Yeah, but I suppose that that is, I think, every job has a little bit of toe the line, be persistent,
see it
through.
That's right.
And some of it is, there's a lesson. You want these creatures to understand that you can come back. You can come back whenever you want.
What did you do before you were doing extermination?
I was a DJ.
Really?
At WFIU.
Very cool.
I had a jazz.
Oh.
I played jazz from midnight to 4 a.m.
Seems like jazz at that time would just put you right to sleep.
Well, I tried to play a lot of upbeat stuff. Some Mingus, Coltrane.
Ooh.
I tried to stay away from Herbie Hancock, anything that was too, Maiden Voyage, anything that was going to lull me to sleep.
Right.
I just tried to, so I played a lot of Weather Report, a lot of bebop.
Cool.
Yeah. But,
why don't I understand jazz?
Well, the truth is I think the problem is maybe you're trying too hard. Oftentimes I feel like me and my appreciation of jazz is not unlike the way that I try and lure in, say, a skank or a ferret. If I try and go directly for it, it will elude me.
Hmm.
But if I sit there long enough and I just kind of think to myself like, you come here and you figure it out.
Oh,
And they'll, the ferret, not unlike the jazz, I'll have like an epiphany moment where I'll be like, I'm enjoying this. Or consequently, that ferret's sitting in my hand right now.
Wow.
And then, and whammo, I throw that ferret over the fence and I'm like, you don't come back.
And then he does.
And then he usually is already coming back. But then that is not unlike the appreciation of jazz. It's then later I want the sensation of holding the ferret again. Not unlike I might want to hear, you know, take five again.
A lot of times I just feel like jazz is sort of confusion in music form.
I think it's entirely possible.
Just like Jesus dipped his toe in the Jordan River, I'm dipping into the mailbag, everybody. Here we go. Dear Twin Hillers, I am a young dad who wants to be a Christ-like example to my two boys, Balin and Jaden, 7 and 10. I include them in things like riding the lawnmower, hunting trips, and Monday night football, but my youngest, Jaden, has always been a more sensitive type kid. He cries when I take him hunting, he has no interest in sports, and unfortunately, he likes to play dolls with his sister. They choreograph dances, they put on shows, and they both dress up like princesses. I've been very consistent to spank him every time he does this because I love him and I don't want him to be beat when he leaves home. Signed, loving father. I can feel his pain.
So... what's the question, Hallie?
Oh, so I'm a young dad. So he likes to pray dress up, dress like a princess. I spank him. Well, I guess you're just letting us know.
Oh, well, okay. Thanks for writing in.
That's great.
That's great. Thank you.
I'd say keep up the good work.
Thanks. Yep.
Didn't really give us much to answer there. I guess he's doing the right thing.
For sure.
But I'm not going to answer a question that's not asked.
That's right. I mean, it's probably better he gets beat at home than him getting beat up by the world, because the world is going to beat up a boy who's, you know.
Look, I'd advocate to try and catch him, put him in a cage, give him a strict talking to, maybe roll that cage down a hill or two, and then take him to the edge of your property. And if he comes back, take another crack at it, you know, like. I think it's a one step at a time kind of a thing.
And you got to be consistent. That's the thing with parenting, right?
Yeah, because truth be told, you don't want that boy to get carried off by gerbils. So, you know.
So every single time he does this, you need to catch him.
Catch him in a cage.
Put him in a cage.
Put him in a cage.
Get him from talking to.
Give him from talking
roll
to.
Roll the cage down.
That's just, you don't always have to roll the cage. Shaking the cage is sometimes fun. Like shake it back and forth, shake it back and forth. Or you can roll it down a hill.
Mark Cragnar was played by Matt Craig. He is such an outstanding and lovely guy. Look for Lego City Adventures on Nickelodeon and keep an eye out on Netflix for his new show, Chicago Party Ant. I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas is played by Greg Hess. Our incredible producer is Ryan Countshouse. Follow us on your favorite form of social media and send a letter to our mailbag at megathepodcast@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you like the podcast, please support us on Patreon.
Hey, do you like comic books?
Do you like brothers?
Do you like brothers talking about comic books?
You do.
Okay, then, listen to this ad. My name's Will Hines.
And I'm Kevin Hines.
We are brothers as well as comedians.
As well as huge fans of comic books.
Like the Fantastic Four, which we are talking about a lot right now in our podcast, which is called...
Screw It, We're Just Gonna Talk About Comics.
From Campfire Media, available from now until the end of time.
Screw it, we're just gonna talk about comics.
Campfire.